In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some years ago, there was a televised debate between a Catholic priest who was involved in the pro-life movement and a feminist who was involved in promoting abortion. And during the course of the debate, things went very, very well for the priest. In fact, every argument that the feminist brought up in favor of abortion, the priest rapidly had an answer for. He was able to dismantle one by one every one of her arguments. And by the end of the debate, the feminist was completely humiliated. In fact, they went backstage after the broadcast was over, and she just kind of shook her head aghast, and she said, "Father, I have to hand it to you. You wiped the floor with me out there. You destroyed me. I couldn't answer any of your objections." And the priest smiled, and he said, "Well, I guess that means that you're on your way to becoming pro-life, aren't you?" And the feminist stiffened up, and she said, "No, Father, you don't understand. We have to have choice." A very chilling episode, which helps to illustrate the point that our Lord is making in the Gospel today. And what's that? It's the fact that God has given each one of us a very terrible power, a power which we can use either for his glory and for love of our neighbor, and thus for our salvation, or which we can abuse to our own ruin. And that power is the free will. Okay. It's a great mystery how even in the face of irrefutable proof and truth that we can't deny, we nevertheless can deny it. Right? It can be evident before our eyes, and yet we can still say, "I choose not to believe. I choose my own will over the truth and over the love of God." Our Lord illustrates this in today's gospel with a parable, the parable of the seed and the sower. In this parable, the seed, of course, is truth. Right? The sower who goes out casting the good seed everywhere is our Lord himself. And the four different kinds of ground on which the seed falls represent four different kinds of souls. The first category would be those who reject the truth through indifference. Perhaps they hear it, but it goes in one ear and out the other because they don't really care. They're so caught up in their own lives, their own concerns that the word is immediately snatched up by the devil and it doesn't have a chance to sink down into their hearts and change them. The second category are those who receive the truth at first with joy, but they're very superficial. And so when the gospel demands some kind of sacrifice from them, when it demands persecution especially, perhaps on the part of their family, their loved ones, they choose human respect over, or they choose comfort and security in this world over the gospel. And so these people too fall away. And the third category are those who embrace the gospel, but with a divided heart. Our Lord says elsewhere in the gospel that we cannot love both God and mammon being the things of this world. And tragically, there are many Christians who think that they can do that. They think that they can be lovers of God and thus become holy and get to heaven, and yet they have all these attachments to worldly things, and they try to live for both masters at the same time. And of course, it doesn't work. And so after a time, the love of the things of this world chokes out the little sapling of faith, and it ultimately produces no fruit. And in all three of these cases, we find people who've received the truth, but they've abused that terrible power which God has given us, that power of the free will. And so what we desperately need in this day and age, and in every day and age in the life of the church, are Christians of the fourth kind, those who embrace the gospel not superficially, not with a divided heart, but rather generously, with all their mind, all their heart, all their soul, and all of their strength. But we could ask ourselves, well, where do we find such Christians who bear fruit a hundredfold? Well, the answer, obviously, is we find them in the church, but we find also lots of sinners in the church too, right? We find them in the lives of the saints. The saints are these beautiful models that God has given us to show us the way to true holiness. They're not just static models to be admired from a distance, like a statue in sitting in the niche of a church. It's good that we venerate the statues, of course, but they're not just to be admired, they're to be imitated as well. The saints are fathers and mothers, older brothers and sisters to us, who teach us how to live out the gospel, and to live it out truly, integrally, coherently, heroically, amidst the nitty-gritty details of daily life. And thanks be to God, we have numerous examples of saints in every day and age, right? If you look at the history of the church, you find that there's no era in which saints are lacking. You know, in some eras, you might have more great saints than others, because there may be a greater spirit of fervor, or God may raise up more saints to meet the dire needs of the time. But there's never a lack of saints in the church, and I'm sure there are some alive even today. But we, of course, won't know for certain who they are until judgment, or until at least they're recognized by the church, right? And one saint that we can look to is the saint who's proposed to us in the epistle for today's Mass, this Sunday's Mass, and that's Saint Paul. Saint Paul is speaking to the Christians in Corinth, and he's giving a kind of, you might say, a resume of his Christian life. You know, you might ask yourself, well, why is he doing this? It almost seems like he'd be losing all the merit for his good actions, because he's listing all the persecutions he went through and the different things he's had to suffer, being stoned and scourged and shipwrecked several times, spending a night and a day adrift at the sea, betrayed by false Christians. He's been through so much, it's a wonder he's still alive at the point that he writes this letter. Well, the answer is, of course, that St. Paul, in this case, he has to give his credentials, because the Corinthians are being seduced by people presenting a false gospel. And these people present themselves as being super apostles, as being better apostles than St. Paul was. And so St. Paul, in order to win them back, is demonstrating how, you know, these people that call themselves super apostles aren't even worthy of the name apostle at all. They're peddling a false doctrine. And how does St. Paul prove the fact that he's giving them the true doctrine? Was the fact that it's not just words coming out of his mouth. It's something that he's lived, you know. And it's the fact that he embraced the gospel himself in such way that he was willing to testify to it even with his blood. He wasn't one of those superficial Christians who fall away when some kind of persecution comes along, when they have to suffer. On the contrary, in the life of St. Paul, it seems that the more he has to suffer, the more his fervor grows, the more his desire to suffer grows. He says elsewhere in the New Testament that he desires nothing else except to know Jesus Christ and him crucified, how to be patterned according to the form of his own death. In other words, the very thing that St. Paul wants is to suffer for the gospel, because he knows that by doing that, he'll bear fruit, right? And that's the kind of model that we each need. Now, will we all be called to be shipwrecked three times? No. Will we all be called to be scourged five times? No. We won't necessarily have to have this resume. But the point is, everything he suffered was the proof of his love of God, the proof that seed had really been firmly planted in his heart, that it was growing and that it was bearing fruit. And that's what each of us needs to do. And so let's ask our Blessed Mother, the ultimate example of what holiness can do when it's planted in a fertile heart. Let's ask her to give us a heart like hers and like that of St. Paul, so that we too can bear fruit for the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.